Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Human beings were not meant to sit in little cubicles staring at computer screens all day.
I feel so cooped up in this place.
Okay, but remember, serpentine!
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 Could you repeat that last part?
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
It's the start of a brand new year.
Come on, you know the drill. We at least have to do the resolutions.
You make any resolutions for New Year's?
My New Year's resolution is to do a good deed daily.
I always try to make my New Year's resolutions to not gain weight.
Every day, I am going to do one thing I have never done before. That, my friends, is my New Year's resolution.
Maybe your resolution should be not to make fun of your friends.
My New Year's resolution is to learn how to play guitar.
Every year you make us say all this stupid stuff we're going to do and none of us ever do it.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
I think so. My resolution is not to have a resolution. All right. Unless I do. I'm thinking about it. All options are on the table. Good evening. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. We have some opening. We're going to open with some breaking news with John Libertini. And John Libertini just announced that it looks like the Raiders are...
Well, they filed the paperwork. They filed the paperwork to move. I don't think this is a surprising move, whether or not they actually go through with it, or better yet, whether the league actually allows them to go through with it, remains to be seen. But we just got this information, and I am going to pull up. Where is that?
Meanwhile, while you're looking, it's very interesting. I mean, you know, yesterday, when the 49ers were playing the Rams, I was thinking, this is interesting. By the way, I was thinking two things. If they win, does the coach get to keep his job? Well, guess that didn't work out. No. So no Tom Sula. But they were playing the Rams, and I was thinking, now, how's that spinning? How's that playing in St. Louis? Is this going to ease the pain of them jumping ship and leaving town?
You know, here's the deal. The Rams moving to St. Louis seemed like a great idea 20-some-odd years ago. But the truth of the matter is that team is probably worth a lot more in Los Angeles.
Well, sure it is.
And they, more than the Raiders, have been missed in Los Angeles. Now, again, the Raiders have filed paperwork, and the Raiders' situation in Oakland is much shakier than the Rams in St. Louis or the Chargers in San Diego.
I agree.
So what they're saying here is that league officials will look at the paperwork that was filed on Wednesday and Thursday of this week. They're moving quickly because the owners' meeting is set for the beginning of next week. And it's at that meeting that the owners will decide who moves and when. And what's interesting about that is that there are 32 teams and 32 owners, but there is a committee of 6 owners that are doing all the legwork here, and they will make recommendations to the 26 other owners. So you've got 6 owners there that have a huge amount of power here. And one of those, and one of the guys is the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, there's been a long Oakland-Kansas City rivalry. Kansas City shares the state of Missouri with the St. Louis Rams. It's going to be interesting to see exactly what happens.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's news to me.
But the city of St. Louis has offered to pony up quite a lot of money to help get a stadium built in San Diego. There is a proposal on the table that would involve $350 million in public money. The Raiders, though, have nothing. I mean, the mayor here, the city is still paying off the debt that it incurred.
The city shouldn't have to give them a dime.
Well, you know what? I think we need to bring an economist in here to talk about the value of sports teams and the way stadiums are built now. The way stadiums are built now, they are revitalizing cities. I mean,
Every major league team trumps up every time that they want to build a new stadium and they want taxpayer money. Look at the economic input that we're going to bring to the neighborhoods. We're going to revitalize and everybody's going to be rich and everybody's going to cash in. I don't buy it.
Well, go to Denver. You should have been here before. AT&T Park was built. There was South of Market was a dump. And that ballpark drove business around that area. I would agree that cities need to draw a line in the sand. Now, getting back to the situation in Oakland, they're still paying off a debt that was incurred when they enclosed the Oakland Coliseum where the team plays.
Right.
And new Mayor Libby Schaff and some others who've been on the council for a long time have said, you know, we're interested in doing this. But we want this to be a larger stadium complex business development type thing. And there's no done deal there. They're just still talking about it. So the Raiders really are the most vulnerable in terms of which team will leave their city or could leave their city next season. Because the Chargers...
Or be stuck with no place to play.
No, they'd play here.
I guess.
They'd play here.
Yeah, they. I don't know.
Well, no, they're not. Look, if they go to L.A., they'll play in the L.A. Coliseum
right.
until one or both of those stadiums are built down there. Or they'll stay here.
Well, I guess we'd like them to stay here.
You know, there are people that would like them to stay here, but from a pure team standpoint, it makes more business sense to move to Los Angeles. More valuable. They are in a stadium. And one of those stadiums is being built with private money. And you've seen the pictures. I mean,
one's that? Let's give them a mention.
Well, it's Stan Kroenke who owns the St. Louis Rams.
Well, there you go. Good for him. He gets the silver star of the day. I have to tell you, I know a lot of you may disagree, but I don't think LA gives a damn. I really don't think Los Angeles. I think there's a reason why they haven't had a team and one that hasn't stayed, because no one cares. People in Los Angeles, I just don't think, and I certainly don't think they're going to care about three teams.
You know what? All you have to do is go to the L.A. Coliseum 6 or 7 Saturdays a year and see the crowd that goes to see the University of Southern California, USC, play football.
Oh, for sure.
They get 100,000 people.
College football is...
And football
is popular. My God, that's a whole different religion.
Yeah. I think the city was short-sighted in not getting a team back to Los Angeles. I'm certain that the NFL agonized. I mean... This is the second largest media market.
Yeah, they deserve
it. Second largest media market in America.
They deserve a team.
And it didn't happen because nobody down there wanted to take the lead to get a stadium built.
Okay, so in overtime yesterday, speaking of the Rams, who want to put up their own money, good for them, Silver Star. They played the 49ers, but they lost in overtime. So then I was thinking, well, Tom Sula, does he get to keep his gig? Probably not. Turns out not.
Well, that was a lose-lose because Tom Sula lost his job and the 49ers lost two spots in the upcoming draft. Had they lost the game, they would have been in line for the 5th pick in the draft. But they beat the Rams in a meaningless game, and now they have the 7th pick in the first round of the draft.
And everybody's asking the big, yakety-yak talk question is, did they make a mistake getting rid of Harbaugh?
Yes, they did.
Well, of course. Yes, and now he's playing, now he coaches the Wolverines. He's not going to give up that gig in Ann Arbor.
No, coming back here.
That's a very prestigious gig.
Yeah, it is. He'll be back in the pros. He's a good coach, and that's the one thing that these guys,
Okay, I just want to, because I don't follow sport. I am not KNBR. I'm not having mind meld with them. That's not what Drex does. I don't care that much, but I have to tell you this. Chip Kelly, who got fired from the Eagles, no! Bad idea.
No,
you're talking to a Philly guy here. Bad, bad idea. If I had batteries and ice balls, I would throw them at someone. No.
His style
of
play.
That's a bad, bad idea.
It's not going to work in the NFL. And what I was going to say about Harbaugh was that his problems with the 49ers were that the 28-year-old president and CEO of the team got offended because he hadn't really spent a lot of time around a football coach, and he hadn't really had no experience with, the bombast that – comes with a guy who's used to being the king of his domain. And you know what? Football coaches that win football games get to do that.
That's right. They become the superstar.
And as well they should, because it's hard to find
Harbaugh's
good coaches.
Harbaugh's one of them.
Him go. And he and Jed York, today would not answer a question when asked, was it a mistake to get rid of Jim Harbaugh?
When you start thinking of big, big names in football, I think of college names like Brian Kelly, Notre Dame, and, all of those guys. Yeah. So other names, Mike Shanahan, Sean Payton, allegedly on the radar. Sean Sean Payton, Sean Kelly.
No, Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly.
Chip
okay.
Kelly.
Chip Kelly. But yeah, knowing that, just from the ears of a lot of Eagles fans on the East Coast.
Yeah, no, it was a big mistake, and he didn't play well with the players. He got rid of some very talented players because he thought they would they were a threat to his authority. You might be able to do that on a college campus, but nah, not so much in the pros. You got to play the players.
That's exactly what we don't want here in San Francisco. I'm
Drex,
sure that...
we have a guy by the name of Jim Zielinski on the phone. He's the co-founder of the Save Oakland Sports. And apparently we've got him on the phone right now for some reaction on this Raider thing. Do we have a minute, or do we want to wait and take a break and then get to Jim?
Can we do
after
a break and we'll be right back?
I think so.
Can you hold on, sir?
Absolutely.
Okay, hang on. We'll be right back. We're talking about the Oakland Raiders splitting town. We'll be right back on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. First, a look at traffic with Lee Graham tonight in the KGO Traffic Center. All right, we're back, and let's go to the phone here. We have a call.
We've got Jim Zielinski. He's a co-founder of an organization called Save Oakland Sports. Jim has been one of the point men from a fan standpoint over in the East Bay about, you know, what it's going to mean to keep the Raiders and the A's. Jim, what are your thoughts about the Raiders submitting relocation application tonight?
Well, it's certainly, and by the way, thank you very much for having me. Well, obviously, it's very disappointing. It's certainly not unexpected. I mean, it's that's what every NFL observer has predicted for some time. I think what is disappointing from the fans' perspective, and particularly from a longtime fan like me, you know, I've attended the games since 1969 in Oakland, and I've been a season ticket holder since the team returned in 1995. Is that, you know, Mark Davis has consistently said, or at least heretofore consistently said, that he wants to stay in Oakland. And none of us know to the extent, you know, how hard he's tried to actually stay in Oakland. But what's been disconcerting as the weeks and months have gone by is that it's been very clear that, you know, his actions have been pointing the team toward Carson. In other words, you know, he bought land in Carson. He hired Carmen Policy to get a deal done in Carson. He's working with Bob Iger. And again, the fans were, initially very encouraged when he said, I want to stay in Oakland. You know, we thought that was great, obviously, and very, very encouraged by it. But so this is very disappointing.
Let me jump in here. The city, though, has no plan. There's been no serious development with respect to the conversations, the plans for a big development there and a stadium. And there's been a lot of talk, but there's nothing. I mean, they don't even have a tentative agreement in place. And this team continues to play football in a stadium that's antiquated and a stadium that this team can't make money from. And I think, you know, some of us have learned over the years that these teams make money off of stadiums that can provide gorgeous luxury boxes and, Wi-Fi signals and, you know, all sorts of things that, you know, the Oakland Coliseum just doesn't have.
Well, you're absolutely right that the Raiders and A's need a new stadium. And the fans need a new stadium, new stadiums as well. But I would respectfully disagree with you that the Raiders can't make money. In fact, I believe I'm correct that the Raiders, along with as part of every NFL team, all 32 NFL teams, get $225 million a year in television revenue. That's before a single beer, before a single item of merchandise is sold. So, you know, the Raiders, I believe, are making money. I mean, I absolutely agree with you. The Raiders need a new stadium. But it takes two parties, you know, to get this done. And actually, in this case, you're talking about the city of Oakland, Alameda County, and the Raiders. So all three have to work together to get this done. And, you know, I do think the city of Oakland and Alameda County could have done things differently to some degree. But I think the characterization that they've done nothing is inaccurate. I mean, I do know that Levy Schaaf, the mayor of Oakland, has offered to do some infrastructure improvements. Just recently, she offered to you know, throw out, giving the Raiders, I believe, control approximately 60 acres of
right. And Mark Davis says he needs 120 acres over there. I mean, I'm not saying that the city hasn't done anything, but they don't. They haven't gotten close to any kind of an agreement, and the clock was ticking. You know, I don't want to see the Raiders leave, but
right.
I mean, Drex.
No, and by the way, congratulations on being a Raiders fan that long, because after the first defection, I would have thought you may have defected since they divorced you.
Let me be really clear, and when I was, and this may be heresy to some Raiders fans, but I suspect not most of them, true Oakland Raiders fans, when the team was in L.A., I did not root for the Raiders. And in fact, you know, like, I'm 57 years old.
Truth be told,
I grew up in the heyday of the Raiders, and I think people my age feel very, very passionate that they are the Oakland Raiders. They'll always be the Oakland Raiders.
That's right. So, even when they were in Los Angeles and when I was working in Chicago, they were always referred to as the Oakland Raiders, when they were in Los Angeles.
Right. And, you know, but I would like to, you know, get back to it. And you raise a great point about there is no stadium deal. But, again, I guess no one knows, again, what has been done and what has not been done. You know, for a while, I mentioned earlier that I thought the city of Oakland and the county could have done something differently. Well, for example, I mean, the city of Oakland continued working with a gentleman named Floyd Kephart,
right.
Who I understand is a financial man, if you will.
And he was going to build a big village. It was going to be office space and retail and condominiums and a stadium, and they were going to develop the BART area as sort of a transit village.
Very Hillary-esque. It takes a village.
Right. And even though I don't think parts of Floyd Kephart's plan, I think, were doable, the NFL and the Raiders made it very clear to the city of Oakland that, look, we don't think Mr. Kephart is necessary. I think Eric Grubman, the NFL official, said, look, you know, just negotiate directly with the team. But so months elapsed, and, you know, when they were still in an agreement. I think it was an exclusive negotiating agreement with Floyd Kephart. So I agree with you. I think one of the things that has been unfortunate in this process, and I will tell you that I personally have been talking to officials along with other folks for well over a decade on this issue, because I frankly foresaw this day that Oakland could lose all three of its teams. But don't forget, we're not just talking about the Raiders here. We're talking the Warriors, which is one of the most important businesses, I think, for for Oakland and the region. And there is no guarantee that the A's are going to stay, even if the Raiders leave. I think some people assume that if we let the Raiders go, that sews up the A's, and that is certainly not the case.
No, it's not the case. And Lou Wolf has said there's really no place else for us to go. It's also worth noting, Drex, that the city is desperately trying to create some give back for the taxpayers, which was why they wanted a development and a stadium.
That does make sense.
While it makes sense, it's probably not very efficient, and that has, you know, led us to where we are today.
Right. But you can't, you know, with the mere fact that according to Realtor.com last week, they put out this post that there are only 70 houses for sale in all of San Francisco. You got to think, and we know that everybody's headed over to Alameda. As soon as these teams, you wait and see. If the Raiders move out, give it 5 to 10 years, someone will be begging to come back.
You know what? You raise a good point, Drex, because one of the things that I've tried to underscore to the Raiders and to NFL officials. In fact, you know, I've been reaching out to the NFL owners, and I would ask any of your listeners to do the same, to contact the NFL owners directly and to underscore to them that Oakland is the best place economically. The irony here is if the team leaves, it is precisely the wrong time for the team to leave.
Well, you're right about that, because there's lots of tech moving over there, and it's only a matter of time before there's lots of advertising money and companies that are willing to buy up those expensive suites.
They just, I don't understand why they are just not having, you know, Oakland is the next Brooklyn. It already is.
Well, I don't think that Mark Davis is going to be accused of being the sharpest tool in the shed, so...
Well, Mark Davis, I guess, lives in Southern California, and you know, and I think on one level, I assume that he understands the history here. But he does, I believe, live in Southern California. I think it's Palm Desert, and you know, and he has said he had a great 12 years in Oakland and in Los Angeles. I mean, it's his interpretation. I mean, he owns the team. I think most fans would disagree with that, but. To your point, Rex, about Oakland being the next Brooklyn, you're right. It already is.
It is. It already is. And, I just think there's going to be regrets. I thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you very much, and I really appreciate it. And I hope that Mr. Davis, in the end, will reconsider the 43 years of loyalty he's had from the Oakland East Bay community.
Yeah. Yes, Jim Zielinski, who is the co-founder of Save Our Sports in Oakland. Thank you
Save
very much,
Oakland
sir.
Save Oakland Sports, but thank you.
Save Oakland Sports, and amen to that. Have a happy
new
year.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back, and we're going to talk to Marty Nemko, our career coach. This is great. So Marty wrote this article in Psychology Today, and I can't wait to talk to Marty about this. How to be happier than a millionaire on $20,000 a year. Really? No, he added that really. This is going to be very, very interesting. Don't go away. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And now, it's time for this week's extremely uncommon NFL phrases. The Carolina Panthers are 15-1, clinched their division, and have home field advantage. The San Francisco 49ers are in last place in their division at 5-11. And the Cincinnati Bengals have won just as many games as the New England Patriots. That's this week's extremely uncommon NFL phrases.
But not too uncommon. Turns out most of it's true. And I say good evening to Marty Nemko from MartyNemko.com. He's our career coach. Thank you for joining us, Marty.
My pleasure. We'll see if we can keep close to the truth, at least for this half hour. We'll see.
Okay. Well, so if you're Jim Tomsula, are you looking for a gig, or, you know, if you're high profile, do you just chill out for a while?
Oh, no. I think what happens is objects in motion tend to stay in motion. Objects at rest tend to stay at rest. The best thing, if I were advising him, I would say give yourself a weekend to get used to it and then say, okay, I'm going to turn all my – there's always anger. When anybody lets go, no matter – even if the record was 0-16, they're going to blame it on somebody else. So what I would recommend, he can get it, lay off all the steam he wants in the next few days, and then use the residual anger, which shouldn't be quite as intense, so it won't be off-putting, to land another job, to use his network to find another good job, where in the end he can give the finger to the 49ers and say, I landed something even better.
Just like Harbaugh did. And he did.
Exactly.
I mean, University of Michigan, how esteemed is that? And, you know, he's working for the Wolverines. You've got some job security there.
And many, many people find it in the end, the pro sports is such a business that, you know, everybody goes into coaching because they have this vision of mentoring young people to become not just great athletes, but great people. But then when you're dealing with the pros, you're dealing with machines, people who are only they want to do is win. There's a lot of serious problems. They're already fully formed. I think very often some of the smartest things that a pro could do would be to take a step down and go into the college.
We've talked about this before. Some people want to be the manager. Some people want to be the president. Some people want to be the coach. Now, you know, he got that promotion because Harbaugh was canned, all right? Do you think there's part of him that's saying, wish I wouldn't have took the gig, you know, because it's tough at the top. This is what happens to coaches. They get fired.
No. One of the things that I've always told people, you know, looking back will only get you in trouble. My father was a Holocaust survivor, and he rarely talked about it. And one day I said, Daddy, how come you so rarely talk about the Holocaust? And he said, Martin, the Nazis took 5 years from my life. I won't give them 1 minute more. Martin, never look back. Always take the next step forward. And that's what Jim Harbaugh did.
That's very wise advice. All right. I love you, Marty Nemco, because I was reading your story, your piece from Psychology today. And by the way, I watched your video. That was very entertaining. MartyNemco.com. Yeah.
Well, you got to tell the listeners what we're talking about here. It's
yes. How to be happier than a millionaire on $20,000 a year. Really?
Seems absurd, right? I know. Seems
well,
crazy.
I was kind of laughing. I was thinking, really, Marty?
Well, but, what did you get out of it? Come on. All right, now I'm testing you.
Okay, so
watch the video.
So what
you
I got
read the article on Psychology Today on how you can live better than a millionaire on 20 grand a year. What does Drex want to remember for his own life from having read that?
Okay, here's what I got. For sure, $15 an hour needs to be, at the very least, the living wage. So all of these people who don't want it to be $15 an hour, I think they're wrong. And I also think that living on $25,000 a year might be fine if you're young and you don't have a family. Now, you know, if you have a partner and they're making $25,000, well, that's $50,000, so that helps. But once you start getting into children and a bigger family, then I think it becomes very difficult.
Well,
yeah,
it's even seen as absurd to even think you could live on with one person could live on $25,000 a year. But I want to talk about a few of the things that are really practical for doing it.
Okay.
And I'm not talking out of my hat here. This is not theoretical. I actually did everything that I wrote in the article, and so I want to talk about the most important thing first, which is housing.
For sure, it's the biggest expense.
That's what we spend the most on, and yet people sometimes choose a movie with greater care than they choose their housing. And so, there, of course, we all know, we hear the headlines, fair market value, you know, right now for a two-bedroom apartment in San Francisco is $4,000 a month. But there's always 3 to 5% of housing that is way below market value. And they are not gotten by opening up Craigslist and looking at the ads. They are gotten by doing guerrilla kind of searching. Like, for example, go to your dream neighborhood, which is what I did when I was young and was looking for a place to live. I wanted to live in the Elmwood, which is near UC Berkeley where I was going to go to school. And it was a nice neighborhood. And I put little friendly posters on the telephone poles with a nice friendly picture of me saying I am a graduate student looking for an inexpensive place to live, love the neighborhood, I would love it if you would give me a call. And I had my limit was like $500 a month. This was back in the 70s. And I got a number of calls, and I ended up living in a mansion on Eucalyptus Road, one of the fanciest neighborhoods in Berkeley, with a former concert pianist. I used to play the piano myself, and I paid the equivalent in today's dollars of $400 a month.
Were you the house boy?
To the 86-year-old woman? I don't think so.
Okay, but you were at least a companion, so she trusted you, and that it worked out equally.
Absolutely.
Yes, I understand. Yeah, so that's,
no, this is not going to work for you.
Right, but I mean, you are so right on. It was kind of a guerrilla tactic of finding a place to live. So I'm sure you helped her, being an 86-year-old woman, around the house, and she had companionship.
Just a little bit, not much at all. She was fine.
Yeah, and
no,
you did
it
your
was
thing.
Really, she just wanted a little companionship, and she had this big, beautiful, beautiful English tutor home, and she wanted some companionship.
Right.
My point is, if you are your typical passive person who simply answers the ads, it's like snooze, you lose. If you can live on very little, if you are more assertive, never, I'm not saying dishonest at all, but being much more assertive to look at that 5 to 10% of properties that are well below market value, because there are many rich people who are not looking to maximize profit from their in-law unit, from their backyard cottage, from the room in their house. They're looking for some companionship and somebody, as long as it's somebody they can trust.
Well, since we can hear this radio station all over the northwest continent, if you're listening in Eureka, for instance, it's probably much easier to find a cheaper place to live than it is in the Bay.
No question, but even there, the salaries are lower. So I would still encourage people to not take the passive route of paying fair market value. That one-time effort to find the right housing is going to save you a fortune.
Okay.
Right? You spend a lot of time, you drive around an extra 5 blocks to save 2 cents a gallon on gas. Spend the extra 20 hours to find a property where you're not having that taxi meter run 24/7 at a very high rate.
I can tell you one thing, and we'll talk about this on the other side of the break, is health care, and that's a big one. And thank God for President Obama as he begins his last year. But we'll discuss. Yes, by the way, if you're just joining us, we are chatting with Marty Nemco, as we do on every Monday night, Monday Nights with Marty. And we're talking about how to be happier than a millionaire on $20,000 a year, probably like $25,000. We'll continue in just a minute on KGO 810.
Happy New Year! Today is the first day of the rest of yesterday's tomorrow.
You are a star.
Quit telling the truth.
Okay, you've gone from precious to annoying.
And away we go on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the band around the world at KGORadio.com. And Marty Nemko is my guest. He is our career counselor, and you can check him out. My God, Marty, you are so busy. I looked, Heather said there are some new things on his website. You should look at it again this week. And I opened it up and I thought, does he ever stop? It's like a machine.
Well, it's a privilege to be doing it, but I wanted to explain we went through the first half of the equation where we talked about how you can live better than, or the second half, how to live better than a millionaire on $25,000 a year.
Right.
But better than a millionaire, that's what sounds really hypey, and here is why I mean it absolutely sincerely. Most people who make a lot of money, if they didn't inherit it, end up having to choose a career that they really in their heart of hearts don't love, whether they're a bond trader or a corporate lawyer or an insurance salesman or an accountant. They would really much rather do something creative, like be Drex on the radio or whatever, but it doesn't pay the same as those big jobs. So if you can really control your spending in the ways we've been describing, for example, with housing and cars and food and vacations and whatever, you have a far greater amount of freedom to choose a career that you would find more exciting. The reason that companies pay so much money to certain people is because it's not so fun to do those things. And that's why you can live better than a millionaire on $25,000 a year.
And, of course, health care, the whole game has changed since we finally have universal health care, although it may be restructured. Obamacare is working and helping.
Don't have a real comment. I've heard, I teach at the medical school at UCSF, and frankly, I'm hearing doctors, both anecdotally and because of a recent big study that was done by Deloitte, that a third of doctors over the age of 40 are planning to leave earlier, retire earlier, because they're overwhelmed by the amount of no pay and low pay patients with very, very low reimbursements. So it's...
I know one of these doctors.
It is way too early to make that decision. The degree of access, especially that the people who have been paying into the system, paradoxically, will have, is going to be far reduced because so many millions of low-pay people, high-need people, are going to be in the system. So I remain agnostic.
Well, but nonetheless, at least everyone can be covered now. Before all of this went down, if that pre-existing condition thing was just horrific.
Yeah,
I mean, even if you could afford insurance,
everybody agrees is bad.
Yeah.
But the word "covered" doesn't mean anything if you can't see a doctor.
That's true. I agree.
So the question is wait times, access. You know, there's still a reason why millions of Canadians come racing over the border to here when they do have national health care there. Access and cost are big questions. It's too early to make a definitive thank God statement about it.
Well, let's hope the next administration, whichever one that is, just fixes it and doesn't take it away. We're talking about how to be happier than a millionaire on $20,000 a year. So let's get to things like furnishings.
Okay, we are fortunate in the Bay Area. We have among the most mobile societies that exist. Especially, we have 35 colleges and universities in the country, in the Bay Area. And every twice a year, right before in December, at the end of each semester, and again in June, you have countless people selling, and many, many employees in San Francisco and Silicon Valley who are constantly moving and selling their furniture for 3 to 5 cents on the dollar. If you can avoid the typical materialistic tendency to go and want to go to the furniture store and buy the stuff, but instead buy used, you can save thousands.
You're so right on with that. Yes, yes. And by the way, those people who have estate sales, that's one of the biggest ripoffs known to man, because I had to do it because I had to unload a house full of way too much furniture. Yeah, pennies on the dollar. What about a car? And this is great because, you say that you're not a brand loyal person. But
there are, there is one brand, I have to say, that stands out above all the rest in terms of long-term reliability, and yet they're not overpriced like a Beamer or a Mercedes or any of these designer label cars. Toyotas are truly magnificent, and I've never been paid by Toyota. I'm not going to get paid by Toyota. This is simply my family has had 7 Toyotas, all of which have lasted over 200,000 miles with almost no maintenance, no tune-ups required, basically, and they are reliable. My current car is a 2004 Prius. I do a lot of driving. I have 276,000 miles
on it. Wow, Marty, I am impressed. I thought you'd have a Benz.
They're awesome cars.
Yeah, I have a friend who has a Subaru, and he's had it, oh my God, I don't know, it's like 1990. It does. It has like 225,000
miles. Subaru is right up there with Toyota. Fantastic brands. And of course, when you buy a new one, you lose a fortune the minute you drive off the lot. The smart money is to buy a 3 to 5 year old Toyota, where you have already, it will cost you a third or more less, and yet you have 80 or 90% of its life left. That single decision over your lifetime will, again, save you perhaps $100,000 or more than over the typical consumer says every 6 years or so, well, I think I need a new car. It's okay. The price that you pay in terms of your career freedom is enormous when you make those kind of buying decisions.
We're talking about how to be happier than a millionaire on $20,000 a year. But what about education?
Right. Well, again, we live in a designer label society. So everybody has an orgasm about the thought of going to Stanford. Or if they can't get into Stanford, maybe Berkeley. Or USC, or Penn, or Syracuse, or Tulane. All of these private colleges that cost, and really the true 4-year cost of those private, the 4-year sticker cost of those 4-year, of those prestigious private colleges is, catch this, $300,000 when you add up everything. They are hide those statistics, bury them. But when you count the number of dollars that comes out of the pocket, typically of the parent, and gets spent to the, on the college or and living expenses, it's $300,000 for 4 years. And the punchline is a significant percentage of students don't graduate in 4 years. So you got to pay it for 5 and often 6 years. Wow. The national 6-year graduation rate is only 59%. That means that 41% of all college freshmen end up taking 6 years, don't only graduate, if given 6 years, only graduate. The key is to start at the community college. People think because it doesn't have a designer label, it's inferior. In fact, the teaching quality is often better because the faculty is hired and promoted primarily, almost exclusively, based on how well they teach. Stop with the prestige. You can always transfer later to a more prestigious college if you want a bachelor's degree, but save the money on those, on higher ed. My PhD is actually in the evaluation of education, and I can say that with greater certitude than anything. Even if you're a smart kid, there are honors classes at the community college, tough classes. Try to save the money on the college. Really important.
Right. Marty, I have to ask you as we wrap up here, living on $20,000 a year, you have to eat, so you want to eat healthy, and then entertainment. You know, you have to have a little bit of fun. So how do we put this all together?
Well, you know, with food, there one of these myths that they often talk about, for example, in the inner city is that the poor can't afford to have healthy food. The truth is that the healthiest food is the cheapest. Fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, whole 100% whole grain breads, all of those things are cheap. What's expensive are processed foods. So you can actually live healthier by living by eating cheaply. Certainly, you don't want to go out to restaurants that are charging $12 for a little bit of salad. Absolutely. And recreation? Of course, you could spend a lot of money. You spend $100 on a pair of a ticket on concert tickets, or go to a 49er game, or you can simply invite friends over to your house with some $2 Chuck wine, which actually rates higher, according to Consumer Reports, than very expensive wine.
Guilty, yes.
All of that stuff. Make popcorn at home with some cheddar cheese and garlic instead of going out for expensive fancy foods. Hiking, playing basketball, which I love to do. All of those things cost nothing and improve your quality of life relative to sitting and having your eardrums blown off at a concert for $150 a ticket where you can't even hear anything.
I am so on the same page with you. You're magic, Marty. All right, Marty Nemco from MartyNemco.com. Check out his website, and he'll be joining us again next Monday night. Thank you, Marty. Happy New Year.
Always my pleasure, Drex.
Thank you very much. All right, fantastic. We will take a break, and we'll be back on KGO 810.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.